thank you everybody for praying and just speaking that and bringing it up. So it's not for make the people who didn't pray feel guilty. I'm just saying thank you guys for doing that. That's really wonderful. And so, all right, well, let's jump right into it. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 15. Now that we prayed half the night, we only have a few minutes. And we're going to get through all chapter 15. Not only that, but we're going to do it without my notes and without PowerPoint, because you guys usually know I have all this cool stuff, but you can pray for my computer because it's not letting me print or save anything in Microsoft for the past week. So I feel like I'm naked. If you need a Bible, there's one right there. Punky, do you mind? Isabella, do you mind? If you need one, just raise your hand. Isabella will deliver one right to your door at no extra cost to you. We haven't been in Kings, so I'm going to give you a three-minute rundown. Yes, in just a minute. So we're going to give a quick rundown. We are in the book of Kings. We're in chapter 15, so a three-minute rundown. The book of Kings, if you remember, we haven't done this in a while. It seems like I haven't been up here in a long time. But 1st and 2nd Kings was originally written as one book. The book of the Kings, it's kind of a continuation of where 2nd Samuel leaves off and jumps kind of into 1st Kings. David united the kingdom at 2nd Samuel. He united the entire kingdom, all of Israel, and all the tribes of Israel. And they started a kingdom, and the kingdom of Israel, God anointed it. David was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't just a religious guy or a churchgoer. He really loved the Lord. And there's a difference, right, isn't there, between someone who just goes to church and then someone who loves the Lord? It makes a difference in everything you do, in everything you say, in how you look at things, in how you address things, in how you handle problems, in how you handle trials, everything, in how you handle your work life, your wife, your husband. It changes how you do absolutely everything. That's God. And so that was David's heart. Now, as we go into Kings, if we started into Kings, we also saw the end of David's life, and as he's passing on his words to his son Solomon, telling him to love the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, and soul, and strength. The unfortunate thing is that Solomon, David's son, didn't do that. And he pretty much, all of his sons and the kings, pretty much ran the country of Israel into the ground because they didn't seek after the Lord. Now, it started off really cool, because King Solomon was humble before the Lord, and he asked for anything he wanted. God came to him and spoke personally to him. He's like, Lord, I just want wisdom, because I want to help manage your people well. And God gave him wisdom and riches beyond measure, which would have been fantastic if he would have had the right heart. And he started off so great, and so we're all like, woohoo, Solomon, yes, a real man after God's own heart. Wisdom, riches, expanded the kingdom. But then he started doing some things that Deuteronomy said he shouldn't do. God told them specifically, when you have a king, I don't want you to focus on money and riches and military. And I don't want you to trust in the military. I want you to trust in me. He said, I don't want you to accumulate lots of wives like the pagans do. And guess what he did? He had lots of wives. Yes, 700 wives, 300 concubines, or vice versa. I can't remember right now. But anyway, way too many. And he started having these wives, like making political alliances. And eventually, you remember what happened. These wives came with their own foreign gods. They didn't want to serve the Lord. That's a terrible place to be. Listen, young people, for you who are here, you better make sure, if you really love the Lord and want to serve him, you better make sure that you find a guy or a girl that really loves the Lord more than you. Because otherwise, they could lead your heart astray. In fact, they will. If Solomon, the wisest man in the entire world that ever existed, other than Jesus, was led astray, right? then who are you to think you're not going to be led astray? That's foolishness. And it says that eventually his heart got corrupted, and he ended his life so sourly that he just so displeased the Lord. And then his son came. You remember his name? Anybody remember? Nope. Was it?
Rehoboam.
Okay. Cheater. And Rehoboam, unfortunately, he was a fool, wasn't he? He thought he was all hot stuff, right? He was going to be the big man on campus. And so the people came to him and said, you got to ease up on these taxes. Solomon went so far as to even have slave labor. He built the temple for the Lord, but used slave labor. Hello. And then he built his own palace bigger than God's house. Hello. He messed up so bad. And so here we go. Is it any wonder that Rehoboam followed in his dad's footsteps? Isn't that sad? He followed in his son's footsteps, and they came to him and said, you got to ease up on some of these taxes, and if you'll do that, we'll all serve you joyfully, and we could be all together. But no, he's like, I'm gonna whip you with scorpions, and that's just terrible stuff. I'm going to be tougher than... And you know what happened? 10 kingdoms, they ripped, and the country got divided into Israel in the north with a group, Jeroboam, and then Rehoboam in the south in Judah. And so now the country's divided and they're at war. Yes, Elijah.
You know, that kind of reminds me, you know, how Solomon, he's kind of representative in early Christian, you know, they got with the Lord, they're starting to read the word, they're on fire, they start off, but then all of a sudden they start ebbing away into the wrong direction again.
Yes.
And pretty soon, most of them don't come back.
They crash and burn. That's because they had no root, the Bible says. There's no real root there. If you're not rooted in Jesus, if you're just rooted in church or Christian activities, or you're just rooted in reading some religious material like the Bible, just and for that reason, instead of to know the Lord, that's what's going to happen. So here we are, all the way up into the kingdoms all split up now, and Jeroboam just died, if you remember that. Or maybe it was Rehoboam, I'm not going to remember. At the end of 14, we see there was continual warfare at the end of chapter 14, verse 30. There was continual warfare between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and then Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. So, and then it says, and Abijah, his son, succeeded him. Chapter 15. Okay, we're gonna kick it into overdrive here today. Now, the first couple kingdoms, Judah is where? Is that in the north or south?
South.
South, that's right. Judah is in the south. That's David's line, right? Okay. Now, that's pretty interesting because in the southern kingdom, they faithfully maintained David's dynasty for about 350 years. And there was about 19 or 20 kings in Judah. But the sad thing is, guess how many of those kings really followed the Lord? How many?
One?
Two? No? Judah. In Judah. Very close.
I'm guessing about eight.
Dang, that's excellent. Yes, it was eight, if I remember correctly, without my notes. Eight of the 19 kings, right? Actually followed the Lord. That's not very good. But you know what's even worse? Up in the north, the guy named Jeroboam, he didn't like all those people going down to the south to worship the Lord. So he said, we're going to worship the Lord a different way. And we're going to set up our own way. We're going to set up a couple calves that are going to represent the Lord. And we're going to bow down and worship them. Duh. That's a great idea. Not. And guess how many good kings in all those years in the northern tribe, which lasted about 250 years, and there was about nine dynasties up in northern Israel. Guess how many of those kings were godly? Zero. Zero, zilch, nil, nada, nobody. Nothing. That's a sad state. So these, here we are, we're going to see a couple of kings of Judah, Abijah and King Asa. And we're going to see also a guy by the name of Nadab, king of Israel. Now, I'll be honest, what I wanted to do, don't tell anybody. This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to quick jump past 15 and 16 and go to my favorite chapters, which is 17, 18, 19, when it talks about Elijah the prophet. And I thought, ooh, that's my favorite. I've been able to teach that, and I've taught that in our area. I've taught it in Israel. I taught it in Africa. I love it. I love the Lord. You see the Holy Spirit working in power. Love it. But you know what the Lord said? He said, don't do that. All my word is profitable. So that means it's all God-breathed, which means we're going to learn something from this too. All right? Yes.
I think one of the reasons why a few good kings were in Judah was because they're descendants of King David, because he followed the Lord well, and that they had the temple there, which was the one dwelling place for the Lord.
Yes. Yep, I agree. Unfortunately, Rehoboam was not a good king, though, but we're still glad that at least he did that. All right, I'm going to probably read some of this. Brandon, thank you, though, just for time's sake. And we'll start off in chapter 15, verse 1. And just so you know, we're going to be talking about Abijah, the king of Judah. Now, he only reigned 3 years. And so it wasn't a very long time. His son was handpicked by Rehoboam, his father, because of his ability. And you can read that in Chronicles chapter 11, 22. But he was from David's line. But one thing you're going to see as we kind of look through some of this thing is King Abijah may have had David's blood flowing in his veins. But you know what he didn't have? He didn't have David's heart beating in his chest. And God is always concerned with the heart, isn't he? He wants your heart. Listen, it doesn't even matter, honestly, if you do the right things and you have the wrong heart. God finds it displeasing. He wants each one of us to have the right heart as we do things to honor him. Does that make sense? All right, here we go. It says, in the 18th year of the reign of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and remember, Jeroboam's in the north. Abijah became king of Judah in the south. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother's name was Maacah, daughter of, some of your translations might say Abishalom, but that's another way of saying, it's a variant of a person that we all remember by the name of Absalom. And you remember Absalom, who he was? David's son who rebelled against the king? And so he was a relative of Absalom. It says in verse 3 that he committed all the sins his father had done before him. Mm. And it says his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord God as the heart of David his father had been. Now that's, you know, it's kind of amazing to me. God sums this whole guy's life up in just one little verse here. Isn't that weird? He says that, here it is, one line, that his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord your God. Think about that. What do you want God to say to you when you boiled your life down in one line? What do you want him to say about you? I don't really, that's a good question, isn't it? There's no right answer exactly, but I hope it's to love the Lord and to love others. I hope when I die, people can say, man, that Darren guy, all I know is he loved the Lord and he loved others, and he wanted people to get to know him. I hope the Lord will just say, you know, Darren, I love you, son. Thank you for being faithful to me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for standing for me. I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that from the Lord. It goes on to say in verse 4 that nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by raising up a son to succeed him and by making Jerusalem strong. And for David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. And you remember what happened there with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. He had him killed. It says, and there was war between Rehoboam's dynasty and Jeroboam's dynasty throughout Abijah's lifetime. As for the other events in Abijah's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? You can read about that if you want. I think that's in 2 Chronicles, let's say 13, 14, 15, roughly. And it says there was a war between Abijah in the south and Jeroboam in the north. And this is one thing that Abijah did that was nice. He actually preached. There was a bunch of people that Israel had gathered, hundreds of thousands up north, and little Judah had gathered all its men, and there was going to be a great battle, and the little Judah down south was outnumbered. And one thing that he did, he might not have had a heart for the Lord, but he knew the word enough to tell all the troops in Israel that, hey, we serve the living God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 13, he says, we serve the living God down here. You guys are worshiping idols. That's what he said. And he said, and he basically preached to him. He preached to him a history lesson. He preached to him a lesson about loving the Lord and following his ways. And then what happened, which was crazy, even though Israel and North had an overwhelming army, it says they attacked, they even ambushed them. But it says that the priests blew the horn. And because Abijah trusted in the Lord, the king of Judah trusted in the Lord, they sounded out. And it says that this, it says in 2 Chronicles 13, verses 15, the men of Judah then raised the battle cry. At the sound of the battle cry, God routed Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the Israelites fled. And it says the men of Israel were subdued on that occasion, and the men of Judah were victorious. And it says this, because they relied on the Lord, the God of their fathers. And so that's why this guy was victorious, is because he trusted in the Lord. And it goes on to say in verse 8 that Abijah rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And Asa, his son, succeeded him as the king of Judah. Now, Asa ruled for a long time, from about 910 to 869 BC, and he was ruled about 41 years. And I like it. He began his reign with a heart like David. He's a cool king, but he's not perfect. But he started off awesomely again. And let's just dive right in here. Yeah. Yes, little gentleman over here. Brandon. Okay. The question is, what is an idol? Well, back in those days, an idol would be basically a false god that they would make and worship. Yes, exactly. Like the god of wealth, the god of health, the god of fertility. Yes, that's exactly right. Now, what's an idol today, you guys? Dan, what it? Good.
Facebook, Twitter.
Okay, good. Now, are all those things, our computers, cell phones, everything's an idol? Ah! What is it? Oh! So that's what makes it an idol, is when you start putting that before God. Now, can we all do that? I mean, I'm sure none of you have ever chosen to put video games before reading the Word each day. Or in football, or Netflix, or what? TV, or work.
Or yourself.
Or yourself.
Or just simply sleep.
Yes. Yes. That's right, guys. Excellent. Aren't those idols? Now, we don't, you know, but we're not putting the Lord first, are we? So what do we need to do? Right, tear down those idols. That means maybe before you hit on the video game, why don't you just read a chapter in the Word? How about you just get up in the morning, next morning, tomorrow morning, you make a choice, you read a bit, or before you go to bed tonight, you read one chapter, just pick Proverbs, or pick a psalm, and just read Psalm number 1, and then Psalm number 2, each time you ask the Lord, speak to me, just read one chapter. Let the Lord renew and refresh and transform your mind so that you won't grow astray. Yes? Yes, it's not the timing of how you do things. It's just, are you placing more importance on the video games than on the Lord? Do you know what I'm trying to say? You could read it in the morning, in the afternoon, at night. You just have to make sure that he's the main priority. Well, I'm just tired. How many times have we said that? I know I should read the Word, Joe, but I'm just tired. I know I should read the Word, but I just want to sit in my comfy chair. Right? Isn't it true? So let's just take those idols in our own life and tear them down. And the neat thing about Asa, that's one of the things that he did. There were idols all over the place, and he tore them down. Listen to this. This is what I like about him. And if you're going to follow the Lord, you got to tear some idols down. Now, don't look at your brother's idols and tear them down. You tear down the idols in your own heart. Right. Excellent. You take the log out of your own eye before you move the little speck in your brother's eye. It says this, in the 20th year of King Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king of Judah in the south. And he reigned in Jerusalem 41 years, and his grandmother's name was Maachah, daughter of, again, Absalom. Now, here's the thing. When it says father or mother in a Hebrew mindset, sometimes that's not his, like, real father. Like if it says, you know, David, his father David, that could mean generations down the line. So this should say his grandmother, okay? Verse 11 said, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Woo! That's what I want said of me. Darren might have been a knucklehead. But you know what? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Heidi might have been tired, but she did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Neely might have made mistakes, but you know what? She did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's what I want said about me too. And remember, it's not how you just how you start, it's how you finish. So if you're making mistakes now, the neat thing is tomorrow's a new day. God's mercies are new every morning, and you can start afresh tomorrow and seek the Lord in that way. Goes on to say, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as his father had done. In verse 12 it says, and he expelled the male shrine prostitutes from the land. That's one thing he did. And basically, yes, thank God he did that. Now let me just tell you, a prostitute is somebody who sells their bodies for money. So there was these male prostitutes that the state, that Israel said, hey, it's okay. It's all right if you do that. And they prostituted themselves, some with women, some with men, homosexuality. And you know what? He said, man, we're not doing that. I'm not going to sanction. That's not okay. That's against the Lord. And so he said, got rid of all that. And then it says, look at this. It says, and he got rid of all the idols his fathers had made. All these false idols around. He tore them down. He burned them. He broke them. Whatever. You know, I know a friend of mine. I can't really call him a friend. I'll call him an acquaintance of mine. That he took his TV when it became an idol, finally too much for him. And he took it and he smashed it to bits. Smashed to bits. Now, is TV evil? No. But it had become to him an idol. I don't have cable anymore. Because I would literally sit there, even if there was nothing on. I was like a zombie. And I would just hit the little clicker button. 100 channels. And then I would go through it again. Nope, nothing. Nope, nothing. No, yeah. Now I got to be careful. Netflix doesn't become an idol, but that's another story. So not only did he get rid of all the male shrine prostitutes, he also got rid of all the idols that his fathers had made. Think about this. He's going against his own family, what his family did before him. What his dad did, he's like, but it doesn't honor the Lord, so I'm getting rid of it. And it says in verse 13, he even deposed the queen mother because she made a repulsive Asherah pole. And that word repulsive in Hebrew means like horrific, shocking, probably a sexually explicit idol, okay? And so he even said, now imagine this, to the queen mother, the grandmother, and he's like, okay, you're out of here. Now, how about them apples? Isn't that difficult to do? We're talking your own family. Hey, if you're not going to serve, Daryl gave me something that I'm learning to love more and more that is affecting my faith. He made me a cross in our family. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you where it's at, but I'm going to tell you. It's in our guest bathroom, and it's on the sink, so that, this is embarrassing, but you're like family, so I'm going to tell you this. So that whenever you sit on the toilet, you are looking directly at this cross, and in the cross, Daryl is hand-carved for me, Joshua 24, that says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so listen, even if your mother or father or grandmother or whatever isn't serving the Lord, listen, I'm going to serve the Lord. Some of you might have family members that don't know the Lord or love the Lord or are backslidden or whatever. Praise the Lord. You follow the Lord all the more. What does it matter ultimately what they do? Pray for them, yes. Love on them, yes. Encourage them, yes. But you seek the Lord. He's your God. It says, it goes on to say, Asa cut the pole down and burned it in the Kidron Valley. That Kidron Valley is right there in Jerusalem, where everybody at outside Jerusalem, though, I should say, it goes down like this. It's where everybody could see. So he did it publicly, saying, hey, I'm not going to do this. This is not a part of my life. And it says, although he did not remove the high places, which are other places where they would worship other gods, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. Love that. Now, here's what's kind of cool about this. This is what God has to say about him. He was fully committed to the Lord all his life. You're going to read in a minute. I'm going to tell you that Asa made some mistakes. Have you guys made a mistake? Too many to count. But here's the cool thing. God still says of him, and they're pretty doozies, that it says right here that he was fully committed to the Lord all of his life. And listen to this. This is the last thing, cool. One of the last cool things he did. He also brought into the temple of the Lord the silver and gold and the articles that he and his fathers had dedicated. In other words, he wasn't keeping stuff for himself. He's like, I want to keep all this money for myself like his dad did or whatever. He's like, I'm going to give it to the Lord. I'm gonna put it in the tithe box because I want God's money to be used, or I'm gonna put it in a ministry because I want God's to be used. It's His money. He's like, you want to know where somebody's heart is? Look at their wallet. Look at their wallet. Somebody's wallet will always tell them where their heart is. I want to train my kids. When we get money in, we even got gifts for Christmas. You know what they did? They tithe 10%. Even have gifts from the Lord. Because I want to teach and train them. You give first to the Lord. We give to Him. It's all His money. Now, I don't want to act all self-righteous because sometimes I forget that, and the Lord brings me back and says, remember, Darren, it's all mine. It's just on loan to you. You're my steward of it. But so He did that as well. And it goes on to say, and there was war between Asa in the south and Baasha, king of Israel, throughout their reigns. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. I wish I had my PowerPoint because I could show you. Basically, what he was doing was blocking the way so people from the north, if they wanted to go down south and seek the Lord, they couldn't. And so they were attacking him and they were at war. And then this was the dumb thing that Asa did. Okay? Here is kind of sad. It says, Asa then took... Now, this is after many, many years, okay? After he's old, he's mature, he knows what he's doing, he's pretty solid, he's coming more to the end of his life. And I don't know if he got complacent or what it was, but he really did a dumb thing. Because look what he did in verse 18. So he's being attacked. He's sick of being attacked. And sometimes I feel that way. I'm sick of being attacked. And so he chose to do something in the flesh that made sense, but wasn't pleasing to the Lord. Verse 18 says, Asa then took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of his own palace, and he entrusted it to his officials and sent them to Ben-Hadad, son of Tabrimmon, the son of Hazion, the king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. And he said, let there be a treaty between us, between me and you, he said. And there was, as there was between you and my father. See, I'm sending you a gift of silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he'll withdraw from attacking me in Judah. So Ben-Hadad in Syria agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel up in the north. And he conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel, Beth-Makkah, and all the Kinnesareth in addition to Naphtali. Verse 21 says, when Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah and withdrew to Tisra. Then King Asa issued an order to all Judah, and no one was exempt, and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using there. And with them, King Asa built up Geba in Benjamin and also Mizpah. And then it goes on to say, as for all the other events in Asa's reign, all the achievements, all he did, all the cities he built, were they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? And in his old age, however, his feet became diseased. And then Asa rested with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of his father David. And Jehoshaphat, his son, succeeded him as king. Now, I just want to go really quickly here. Oh, man. Really quickly here. Okay, I know this is a lot of ground. But here's what he did. Remember how early in his life he gave all the treasures away? Then what did he do? He got attacked. And if I felt that way, I feel like giving up. Whatever, just stop the attacks. I felt that way as a mature believer. So I can understand how he's doing. But instead of trusting in the Lord, he says, listen, I'm going to do it the logical way. I'm going to send all the money up to Syria and ask them to attack Israel. And you can read about that in Chronicles if you want. 13, 14, or 15. But basically, the Lord had showed him early in his life, this king, he was attacked, okay? Little Judah had about 500,000 men, and they were attacked, it says, with 1 million soldiers. Cushites, 1 million people. Now, you know how many people are in Tampa? No, the whole city of Tampa, okay? There's about 300 and some odd thousand people in the whole city of Tampa. So imagine the whole city of Tampa, right? The whole city of Tampa times everybody in the city of Tampa is now a male warrior, and they're coming to attack you. So you have the city of Tampa times three coming to attack you. And you know what this King Asa did? I love this. When they came after him, it says that he cried out to the Lord for help. And he said, you know, there's no one, this is in 2 Chronicles 14. He said, Lord, there's no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, for we rely on you. And in your name we come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. That's in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11. And it said, the Lord struck down the Cushites. And they basically routed 1 million men. And so God taught him a great lesson. But then here he's doing it the opposite way. He's not trusting in the Lord. And he actually got rebuked by it. Like if you look at Asa, okay, hey, that worked out great, right? He paid the guy up north. They attacked Israel. Israel left him alone. He got some cities. Worked out great, didn't it? But in actuality, it didn't. God sent a prophet to Asa and said, you've been a fool. He's like, if you would have trusted in me instead of sending them the money and doing that, you would have defeated your enemy in Israel and our enemy, the king of Syria. But because you didn't trust in me and you trusted in your own way, well, you know what's going to happen? Syria is going to be an enemy of yours for years to come, and they're going to be a thorn in your side. There's a verse that everybody, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, knows this verse. All right? I'm just going to read it to you. Give me 1 second here. Okay. It says, this is in 2 Chronicles 16:9, right? It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. But you know when God said that? God said that when he was rebuking Asa for doing it his way instead of trusting in the Lord. And that disease that he had in his feet, that was sent, that particular one was because he didn't listen to the Lord. And it says that he trusted in doctors instead of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we never go to physicians, of course. That would be ridiculous, okay? But he said that even though he trusted in the physicians, he never asked the Lord to heal him. How sad is that? In fact, not only that, when Hananiah the prophet was rebuking Asa, saying, man, you shouldn't have done that, you know what he did to the prophet? He threw him in prison. And then he threw the other people in prison who were saying, hey, Kingo, this is wrong. And so the last part of his life kind of went up in smoke. Right. But even with those mistakes, he screwed up. But it says his heart was still fully committed to him. And then I'm just going to read this last part and we'll close with this. Okay. Nadab, king of Israel, in verse 25 of 1 Kings chapter 15, says, Nadab, son of Jeroboam, became king of Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, ouch, walking in the ways of his father and the sins which he had caused Israel to commit. Baasha, son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar plotted against him, and he struck him down at Gibeathon, a Philistine town, while Nadab and all Israel were besieging it. Baasha killed Nadab in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and succeeded him as king. And as soon as he began to reign, he killed Jeroboam's whole family in the north. And that was a fulfillment of the prophecy that was back in chapter 14, verses 10 to 11. It says he did not leave Jeroboam anyone that breathed, but destroyed them all according to the word of the Lord given through his servant Ahijah, the Shilonite, because of the sins Jeroboam had committed and had caused Israel to commit, and because he provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger. And then it says, it closes with, as for the other events in Nadab's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, throughout their reign. And I think we will stop this. See, verse 33, it does two more verses. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, son of Ahijah, became king of all Israel in Tizra. And he reigned 24 years, and he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, walking in the ways of Jeroboam and in his sin, which he had caused Israel to commit. Wow. All I know is I want the Lord to say to me, after my life is done, that he loved the Lord wholeheartedly. And honestly, can I tell you, there's nothing I want more to be said about you, Joel, Mark, Isabel, Neil. You know what I'm saying? You too. But you have to choose in your own life, what are you going to do? Are you going to break down those idols in your life? Are you going to cast them down? I pray that you do, and I pray that you do it in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would help us in our own life. Whatever is an idol in our life, Lord, if it's finances, we ask that you would help us to tear it down. If it's pornography, Lord, we ask that you help us to tear it down. If it's laziness or video games or TVs or our cell phones, whatever it is, we ask that you would tear it down. Lord, help us to choose to tear it down, Lord. Just like Asa. And even though Asa's dad didn't seek the Lord, Asa did, Lord. And so help us to be in that way like him, Lord God. Regardless of what our dad does or our mom does or our friends do or our brother does, help us to follow you and to make choices and to tear down idols. We ask that you would empower every single person here, Lord God, to do that, Lord, and to help them make the choice to tear them down by faith to honor you, Lord. And we ask that you would empower them to hear your voice, Lord, and to obey your commands. We ask for your blessing upon this church, this group, this school here, and all the ministries involved, Lord. And we ask humbly that you would do this from now until you take us, rapture us to be out of here, Lord God. And we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 And amen. God bless you guys. Have a great night in Jesus' name.
Cake and ice cream.
Cake and ice cream in the back. Enjoy.